The AFL is full of talking heads.
It was an insipid performance.
It's not the first time you've turned on a commentator.
They threaten clubs all the time.
But now two men ask the question,
why so serious?
Been spending most of our lives listening to Titus and Paradise.
And for the 14th week in a row, welcome to the Titus and Paradise podcast. We're here for the Greenfield Post. I'm Sergio Paradise, and with me as always is a man who I believe has not been stalked at a dodgy hotel by Alistair Clarkson, Titus O'Reilly.
Well, not at a hotel.
No, just generally.
Just rocked up at my house.
Just knocked on your door one day.
God, of all the people to drop by when you're in a hotel, and Alistair Clarkson's downstairs.
He's at reception. And you don't even play for his club.
Yeah, that's
interesting.
Scary, scary thought.
Now, Essendon Footy Club.
Gee, we've got. You think this saga's going to end?
It's not.
It's never ending.
Game of Thrones combined with Lord of the Rings will just continue on forever.
Yeah, it's like Star Trek. There's always a new series coming along.
Yeah, and a new set of actors to play the same roles.
That's right. They're all pretty much the same, but, you know, they keep kicking it. They keep rebooting it.
Rebooting it with, you know, William Shatner's role taken by, you know, Little and...
Christopher Pine.
Christopher Pine.
Now...
The latest on the saga, please.
The latest who've rebooted the series is WorkCover.
Yeah, WorkSafe.
A WorkSafe, sorry. Yes. WorkSafe have come out and they are the statutory authority in Victoria overseeing OH&S and compliance. And they've come out and I tell you what, they move fast. They've come out this week and said in 2012 Essendon were guilty for providing its players with an unsafe workplace. And Essendon are going to plead guilty to this as well.
And that's got to be a first.
They
put their hand up and said, it was an unsafe workplace.
Do you think it was an accident that they pleaded guilty?
Oh, I think
maybe it's heard gone.
Maybe it's just, you know, goes back to the... But if they plead guilty to this, does it have any ramifications anywhere else?
Well, I don't think so.
Not in a legal sense, possibly.
I'm not a lawyer, but I'm happy to say no.
Yeah.
I have no legal expertise. But they're getting fined
it's a fair whack.
Yeah, $305,000. So $300,000, just over. And Michael Warner in their old son has done a bit of a calculation, and he's said that it's the whole saga's going to cost, or so far, this brings it to $5.9 million that it's cost Essendon.
Does that include lawyers' fees?
I think that's including lawyers' fees. But I think you got to think probably the herds themselves have probably paid a fair whack themselves.
Although,
and players have got engaged. So
true.
It's been a great for the legal industry.
Oh, great for lawyers in general. And even our old mate Hal Hunter is back in the news a little bit.
Who?
Remember when this whole thing began, we talked about Hal Hunter, former Essendon player who I think was the first to publicly name himself as being involved.
Yes, and is suing the club. And even Essendon fans don't remember
him.
Don't know who Hal Hunter is.
But what else can happen at Essendon? You know, now you'd think with WADA and ASADA and the AFL are now WorkSafe. You know, what's the Royal Commission into Trade Unions? Are they going to have a ping next?
Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah. Or the other thing I was
the EPA.
The EPA. Yeah.
If you're a regulatory body and you haven't sued Essendon, there's no rush.
Yeah, there's no hurry.
There's
to do
no
so.
Rush. No one ever worried about this. Do you think though, WorkSafe saying it's an unsafe workplace that Essendon had back then? They must be taking a lot of comfort from the fact John Worsfold is there now.
Yes, of course they would.
No issues in his past.
No, exactly. And the other one that I heard, even the Minister for Racing's involved now. There was some talk that during the whole drug thing, that Essendon trainers were being trained with live rabbits and chickens. It's the Essendon live baiting scandal. Martin Pakula's even looking into it.
Well, he's a Carlton supporter, I think.
He's
going
Carlton
to be
man.
All over it. But when do you think it gets a point where it's when the four corners do the expose that really is when you start to worry? But anyway, it's a great chance for Essendon fans to sign up again as members because they need to help pay off that WorkSafe fine. So
$305,000, $6 million all up. Yeah.
But it's funny because the WADA case starts next week.
Yes.
And this is into the 34 players, and I think 11 are only left at the club, or roughly 11. But it's funny, WADA to this morning have announced that Russia found them guilty of widespread state-backed doping in their athletics. And as and has funnily enough said that Russia should voluntarily suspend themselves from the Rio Olympics.
Yeah, good luck with that one.
Yeah. I can see Vladimir Putin saying, sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, no problem. No problem. Just while,
what's with the voluntary penalties? We talked about Jake Carlisle. Yeah. Now, Jake Carlisle has actually accepted a strike as part of his punishment. But once again, voluntary punishment. He couldn't be made to take the strike.
No.
So Russia, voluntary?
Yes. And again, the WADA of going Russia now for as you said, widespread doping at the last couple of Olympics. Once again, they've left it, like, taken them at least 4 years to work this one out.
Yeah, it's the London Olympics.
London Olympics.
2012 again. That year was great year for doping.
Good year for your peptide supply.
Industry. It was peak peptide.
Absolutely.
So Carlisle's punishment that was announced last week.
Yeah.
Has been, he's got a $50,000 marketing contract that he's going to forfeit.
Well, for a start, as soon as that video came out, you're not going to, if you're a marketing consultant and you think, look, I might get a new St Kilda player to be the face of our new brand, you'd immediately put a black X through Jake Carlisle anyway. So he was never going to get that gig.
But 50 grand, that's a lot of money.
It is.
For Carlisle, that's two nights out.
it's a couple of nights in Vegas.
He misses the first two matches of the 2006 home and away season. Mm. So not the NAB Cup, but the season, which makes me... That's got to throw St Kilda's premiership chances. Right. You heard it here first. I don't think they're going to win the premiership.
I don't think they're going to win the flag
because of that.
It was all Jake Carlisle.
And then accepting the strike. So that's just bizarre there. He's just said, I'll take the strike. And then apparently he rocked up to training for his first day and they sent him on a 3K time trial just as a further punishment. So, you know, for not the first time in my life, I've thought, I'm glad I'm not Jake Carlisle. Another one that I liked, I love how the media is straight away reporting back to training stories already. Yes. Who's winning time trials?
And it's all the first to 4 year players.
It's November. People are talking about it. Like, they had an article about how Jack Viney is basically, going to be amazing next season because he showed up in shape.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, the front page of the Herald Sun is Jamie Elliott in all his tattooed glory. And I've got to say, looking fairly ripped.
Yeah.
What happened to the old days where all the players would turn up to preseason as fat as butter?
They should have to do that.
Dermot Brereton used to make a point of it. He actually told me back when he was playing, he said, I can't wait till the end of the footy season because all I want to do is get fat. He said, because then it gives me a greater incentive to train harder once we get back there. But now, if you turned up as fat as butter now, you'd be playing at Peel Thunder with Colin Sylvia.
But so they should be made to come back a bit overweight. Like, you should have to have a minimum amount of to make it fair for the people who don't want to do hard work.
Another great example, my old mate Scotty Cummings, he said after his second year at West Coast, he came back for pre-season, and when he went to get his skin folds done, he said the little clamps weren't big enough to reach around his skin fold. He said they couldn't open them wide enough to get the roll of fat between them. At which point, I think Johnny Worsfold then sent him on a 20K time trial.
Yeah, he might. But one of the stories I did like came out of all this pre-season training, apart from the shock news that a Melbourne player has returned fit, is that 2016 Brownlow medal favourite Jake Milksham has had his new Demons training gear stolen out of his car.
He'd be a fairly desperate thief, wouldn't
he? I think it actually, he hasn't worn them yet, so you can sell them for retail price, I imagine, on eBay. If he'd worn them, they'd be about worth a dollar each.
Yeah. I'd like to see whoever stole them. Take them to, you watch Porn Stars on Foxtel? I'd like to take
PAWN, we should
have. PAWN. Yeah, I'd like to see them take them in and try and flog them to Chumley and Rick.
These worn by Jesse Hogan? No.
Jake Milksham.
Oh.
Yeah. So what do you want? $1,000.
How much are you going to pay me for it?
Tell you what, buddy, I'll give you 20.
So anyway, poor Jake. That's very sad. And Melbourne probably can't afford to give him another set.
Again, I know I'm living in the past a bit, but is it like down at footy clubs these days how it used to be where new recruits would turn up and there'd be a grizzled old, morbidly obese property steward who would say, you get one training jumper, you get two pairs of shorts, two pairs of socks, don't lose them, or where you're paying for them. I don't reckon that happens these days.
No, they got more gear than they know what to do with.
Oh, they have whole departments that ferry around to all the games.
It's madness. Now, we're moving on from AFL.
Yes.
Because it is technically, Serge, the off-season. Did you know that? You wouldn't know that reading the paper.
No, you wouldn't.
Front page.
You wouldn't.
But it is technically off-season. I've been told that by several people. And cricket's been back, and it's been a bit of a flat start up in New Zealand, Australia, up at the Gabba.
The Gabba. Yeah, I wasn't even sure when it was starting last week.
Yeah,
I actually thought it was going to be a day-night game with a pink ball, and I was completely wrong there.
Yeah. But you're like, that was when you wondered for a week if you were colourblind.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking, I kept turning it on at 8 o'clock at night, and there's nothing, you know, there's the block. I'm thinking, where's the cricket? Are they playing day-night?
I am loving the hysteria over the pink ball.
Yeah, I hope they just introduce it everywhere. But on that test, I mean, this is no slight on the man or his bowling, but I was flabbergasted to read that Nathan Lyon now has nearly 170 test wickets.
Yeah.
Has he been playing that long?
Well, I think
has
the thing with Lyon
is... Has he had that many bags of wickets? It seems like a lot.
The problem for him, though, is he comes after Warnie, so...
Yeah, sure,
it's like my theory in life. Always follow someone who's really bad at their job, not someone who's
really
good.
Good at their job.
Because then if you just do the competent things well, you look amazing.
Yeah, that's right.
So Lyon's been competent and a serviceable spinner.
Off-spinner.
But we're used to having our best player in the team be a spinner, and so everyone's like, Nathan Lyon.
An off-spinner who doesn't turn the ball much, 170 wickets. Again, no slight on Nathan Lyon. It's a terrific effort.
No slight at all when you can't turn the ball much.
No, well, he can't. He
no
turns the ball
he's not very good, but
inch.
No, that's no slight on him.
No.
The thing I found interesting about the Gabba test is they had 53,000 fans across the 5 days.
Yeah.
They had 6,608 people on the Sunday.
Yeah.
And then
on the Sunday.
And then on the Monday, which was the day we all thought they'd just knock them over, and they did, they had 1,373.
Mm.
So that's not a lot. You'd get more people along to a teenage 18th if you put it. Birthday if you just put up on Facebook.
Oh, you would.
You'd get way more people.
Well, they got more at the NBL on Sunday. The Melbourne United against the Breakers, they had 9,000 people there. And well, now that had an atmosphere too, let me tell you.
Well, they've been saying too, though, that this means that, and you can, let me tell you what's happening here. Cricket Australia have already started to make noises about the Gabba may lose tests because the crowds are so bad. Yet at the same time, they're saying, we want the state governments to chip in some money wherever we pay to play tests because it's a benefit to the state. So right away you can see them setting up the bargaining negotiations with the threat of taking it away from the Gabba. And just, I mean, it's ridiculous. What are they just going to do? Give up Queensland? Give up the third most populous state in the entire country?
Yeah, it's
just to make a point.
Oh, it's your classic Cricket Australia blackmail tool.
It is.
But what about, you mentioned Warnie before.
Yeah.
Warnie, New York, Shea Stadium. I refuse to call it City Life or...
City Field.
City Field. It is Shea Stadium where the Beatles played in 1964.
Yeah. Well, it's actually a new one.
Well, it's actually been rebuilt, I know, but it's still
Shea
Stadium.
Knocked down, rebuilt. But you can feel the thing. But, there's All-Star game over there. I watched that. I didn't get up at 4 in the morning for it, but it was still going when I did get up. And it's great to see Shane just spreading the gospel of cricket across America, one Tinder date at a time.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of personal one-on-one winning over, I imagine.
And I watched a bit of it, and I saw Kirtley Ambrose ambling in, now known as Portly Ambrose. Have you seen him? He's a 52-year-old fast bowler. I still wouldn't want to face him in the nets. But they're saying... I didn't watch the entire match, but there seemed to be a pretty good atmosphere there.
They had 36,000 people there, which, when you compared that to what you had...
That's what they're saying. While the game was actually on, I was reading live tweets from a US sports journal who follows his cricket and has spent a fair time in Australia, and he said if there was 36,000 there, the joint only holds 40 and the entire top deck was empty. So I think they may have been gilding it a bit on the 36,000.
I wouldn't expect that any sporting organization to ever lie about crowds,
Serge. No, of course not. Of course not.
They never would do that,
do that.
Well, it was mainly expats.
Well, it would be. I mean, New York, I remember how fanatical I was in New York about 10 years ago. I got in a cab at JFK to go into the city, and there was the cabbie was from the subcontinent, and he said to me, he said, "Oh, you know, where are you from, sir?" And I said, "Oh, Australia." and he said, just looked at me, turned his head over the back of the cabin and goes, ah, Ricky Ponting. And I said, well, not exactly, but you know, if you've ever seen my square cut, it's an easy mistake to make.
It is easy to mistake you for Ricky Ponting. It is. In certain light.
In a certain light. Yeah, I've never done a Swiss commercial, but you know.
But you are willing.
Or played golf off one either.
So they're off to this all-star tour that they're doing. They're off to Houston tomorrow, and they're in LA on Saturday. The idea of Warnie in LA, that's a movie right there. Yeah. That writes itself.
Yeah, you can just see Warnie in his, well, I was going to say cricket whites, but they wear brightly coloured tracksuits now. You can just see with the camera down low, Warnie walking through Beverly Hills, you know, that classic shot with the really tall palm trees behind him.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And the blue sky. It's perfect. What my question is, I understand New York, LA, why Houston? Just because it's smack bang in the middle, or is it a big Houston's cricketing town?
It's huge. They love cricket in Houston.
I can't imagine there's too many.
Houston's the fourth biggest city there.
A big market.
So it's a big market. I imagine they just had a stadium free.
Probably.
That's probably like, when they went and asked who wants it.
Yeah.
And that was one that was able to be booked because the footy fields are all taken at the moment.
Yeah, NFL's
and so baseball's the option of where you play it.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. America doesn't have ovals.
No, they don't have ovals. Well, I mean, they'd be playing. Are they playing at a baseball field in Houston? It'd be the Houston Astros.
Yeah. I assume they were.
You'd think so.
I think they're all being shown on Gem. You can not do any work on those days and watch it online. So, but no, it should be fun. In fact, Shane Warne in LA will be the person who's had the least work.
Yeah.
he'll be the most authentic person there.
He will.
Now, talking of crowds,
one
thing I learned a lot of angst, the Football Federation of Australia had their FFA Cup, the equivalent of the FA Cup. But we've got an extra F in there.
Yeah.
On Saturday night.
I still
night.
Don't quite understand the difference between that and...
And the season. So the season is just the A-League clubs. And then the FFA Cup means a whole bunch
everybody,
of...
Everybody. Yeah. I know. The team from Broadie and East Bentley and all those teams.
So they're playing all those teams. And so it ended up being, no surprise, surprise, the Perth Glory and the Melbourne Victory. And the Melbourne Victory won. But the...
they got a pretty ordinary crowd, didn't they?
They charge $80 a ticket.
$80 a ticket.
For A-League. I mean, and it's A-League. It's not the A-League final,
But even A-League games aren't $80.
Well, they're never... And that's the thing. I mean, I know it was a major event for them, but
That major, it was... Really?
Well, in the context of the A-League...
$80, did that include a flare for the kiddies? When you're walking? A family ticket with
and
four
a bucket
flares?
Of sand to put it out if it gets... I think that was about... It must have been. That would make more sense, wouldn't it?
It would.
If you got a flare inclusive.
But look, $80 a ticket, I think they were kidding themselves there.
Maybe some saline to wipe the tear gas out of your eyes. There's a whole riot kit.
A riot kit. A family riot kit. There's a marketing
I love the...
A licensing opportunity.
Don't you love the way that... sort of the traditional journalists, sport journalists, they get so angry about the A-League violence, and play it up to the hilt. Meanwhile, the A-League supporters, they pretend that there's never any violence.
It's just a beat up.
The AFL is just as bad, and cricket is just as bad, and you know, it's just this great thing. Like, people get really upset if you like both. They get really upset.
It's one or the other. Let's be honest. It's one or the other.
I like both just to annoy people. That's basically, you know, that's my motto with most things. Now, we've been inundated again with listeners' questions.
Oh, I love this.
Of them are just coming through unprompted, and which I really appreciate. And even celebrities are now getting us questions. Well, Emma Quayle from The Age, who writes all stuff.
She's a very good writer, Emma Quayle.
Well, she annoys me because she's incredibly competent and knows what she's talking about, and she makes the rest of us look pretty ordinary.
And the fact that she's very good at her job...
I don't like that in a person.
Why on earth would she be writing to us, other than to say,
"That's right,
off"?
Well, she's got a... Well, she does. She does great draft previews.
She does.
And unlike everyone else, apart from a few, she's actually watched the players play in games.
Emma Quayle will get a gig in a couple of years as a list manager, and she will know more than any of the others.
I've watched several highlights on YouTube of players, so I'm an expert on the draft. Mm. You can ask me anything. So Emma Quayle's written to us and said, "If you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?"
This is the Emma Quayle from The Age, right?
It is 100% the Emma Quayle from The Age. I'm not making this up.
So what's the question? If you could eat one food for the rest of your life,
yeah,
what would it be?
Which might not be long for you and I, but...
Bacon.
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 Don't try. Yeah,
it will make it as short as possible.
Yeah, no, bacon's good. Mine's whiskey.
We're covering both food groups.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, processed meat and alcohol.
I can't get through another AFL season without whiskey.
No, no.
In fact, I don't think I've ever got through.
What's your favourite whiskey?
I like Lafroy. I like all of them, basically. The lights have just gone out from the studio, I should add. That's our sustainability measures.
I think it was Nathan Lyon.
He'd heard your claims. Now, Mr. Fridge Murphy, may not be his real name, has said, clearly the lack of sports news currently shows AFL Trade Week needs to be longer. Do you agree?
Oh, look, Fridge, if I can be so familiar to call you Fridge. I think you're onto something here. I've had this theory, which I've espoused before with very little take, is that they should just scrap football altogether and have Trade Week 23 weeks a year. We just like buy, swap and sell players where they never even actually have to play and see whether they're any good or not.
No, I agree. And then we just give Hawthorn the cup at the end of the whole process. The cup
and that's it.
I'm all for it. It needs to be longer. There's not enough news around at the moment. We can't just have photos of footballers with their shirts off. Now, Cowboy Steel, again.
Okay.
I think that is a real name. Yeah. I'm going to go out there on a limb. Can you think of anything Essendon hasn't been fined for yet?
Oh, it's a good question,
Cowboy. We touched on this a bit earlier, and they're really racking up the set.
As we said, we're suggesting that the EPA might go after them.
They've had the work cover.
People for ethical maybe tax treatment avoidance. Of animals.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe the tax avoidance or
ATO
something like
could
that.
Go them.
Yeah, ATO.
They'll be next.
I'm predicting the ATO. I think that's
so, Cowboy, we're right with you. We reckon there's plenty of organisations who can still attack.
But not
Essendon.
Many. If you're coming in late in the cycle if you want to get them now. Now, Matt Lay has written, does the Jake Milksham kit fit you okay?
now, Matt, we're going to attack you for one reason. You've used your real name. Now, does the Jake Milksham kit fit? The socks do. Jumper, a little bit snug.
A little snug.
A little snug. Even though he's probably 8 inches taller than me, still a little snug.
Yeah, no, that's it was well worth pinching that. I did think it was actually Christian Petrarca's car, though. The mistake was mine. Phil Wooding has written in, if a test match occurs at the Gabba and there was no one there to see it, did it really happen?
Oh, now
it's one of the great philosophical questions of our time.
Existential question. Existential questions are usually a bit beyond our realm there, but it's very much the tree falling in the forest.
I think the New Zealanders would prefer that never really happened.
Mm, mm.
But they were so nice about losing. Were you sick of hearing what nice guys they are?
Yeah. I much prefer nasty New Zealanders.
But I see, one of the things about the Australian team, and this goes back a long time, is they're not nice people.
They're poor losers and even worse winners.
Yeah.
You know?
They're awful. If we weren't born in this country and we would not like them.
You'd hate them.
But they win, which is sort of like Hawthorn.
Yeah. You don't have to like them. You just have to acknowledge that they're actually reasonably good at their job.
Yeah, see, I've often liked a lot of Melbourne players, and I think that's where we've come a cropper.
Yeah, and they're no good.
Yeah, so, you know, I got tired, though, of everyone just telling me how nice New Zealand were. Know what happens to nice people? Nothing. So that's the end of our show for this week. People have been getting on and rating us on iTunes,
good.
Which we really appreciate. If you haven't done that yet, please do it. Please continue to do so. It helps us out because it's the only positive feedback we've ever had.
It's the only feedback we've ever had. From anyone at any point. So, yeah, get onto iTunes, you know, subscribe to it if you'd like to, but, yeah, rate it, as you say, and
even
listen to it if you have to, even the first couple of minutes, perhaps. and then feel free to contact both of us on Twitter, Titus O'Reilly or Sergio Paradise.
And next week, we're riding the water.
Oh, case. We'll be riding that water. All the way, whipping it all the way down the straight.
The content generator that is the
Essendon saga. May even strip down to our jocks and run down the straight, whipping ourselves to the water. So we'll see you then for episode 15 of Titus in Paradise. We have the Greenfield Post. We'll catch you then.